as we go into our time of hearing and responding to a message from God's Word, we're going to be heading to the 23rd Psalm as we prepare our hearts in reading and meditative prayer on what God is going to be speaking to us today. As we explore Jesus' very own words, when he speaks to us and says that he is the good shepherd. We're going to look at exactly what this means today. And the 23rd Psalm is the perfect place for us to go to see this. And so our very own George Bjarke recorded a short video for us of this reading, and we're going to play that right now.
Hi, my name is George Bjarke, and I'm going to read today from Psalm 23. This is from the New International Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And I wanted to share something that my wife gave me about the 23rd Psalm. And I don't know where this came from, these are not my words, but it starts out, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. That speaks of relationship with God. I shall not want. That's supply. He provides everything that I need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. God wants rest for us. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, and that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing, we all go through testing, I will fear no evil, that's his protection. For thou art with me, that's his faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, and that's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, that's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil, and that's consecration. My cup runneth over, that's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Those are God's blessings. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security forever. And that's eternity. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And take care.
I don't have to preach now, right? Because, I mean, George pretty much said it for us. He didn't think that joke was funny. Today, we're going to continue our journey through the 7 I Am statements of Jesus to fully discover who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do and how he has invited us into relationship with him in our greater journey to discover who God is. God the Son, God with us, God the Spirit, God in us, and God the Father, God above us. We are on this journey together, and we're going to discover through this journey who God is as God has revealed himself in the Word. And it's vital for us in this journey to understand who Jesus is, because Jesus is God. Jesus is God the Son, God with us. And if we truly want to have a relationship, if we truly want to have a knowing of God, we have to have a relationship and a knowing of Jesus as well. Because we don't want to wake up one day and lift up our head and realize we don't know. Or we've been following something, but that something isn't Jesus at all. I think about a time when I was in downtown Louisville, Kentucky, with a few of my friends and my wife. And we were on Bargetown Road. Now, I know that probably no one knows where Bargetown Road is, but it was the place to be when I was in high school. They had used electronic stores. They had all kinds of cool, hipster things, which I was totally into that, coffee shops. And then there was this record store, and it was the best record store in the world. And I just loved going there. And so we were just having a blast. And then we had a desire. We wanted to go eat at Buffalo Wild Wings. Because after you get really cool records, you go get Buffalo Wild Wings. At least that's what we said. And I had a friend that was with us who lived on Bargetown Road. And he seemed to be the area expert. And he said, I am about 99% sure it's this way. So we began walking. 5 blocks later, he said, I'm about 80% sure we're almost there. 10 blocks later, I'm pretty sure we're almost there, but it's more like 75% now that we're going the right way. And by the time that we got 5 more blocks later, 20 blocks down the road, guys, I'm pretty sure it was the other way. And so we asked for directions because we were at a gas station. We stopped and we asked for directions. And the clerk said, oh, that's about 25 blocks that way. The opposite direction. The opposite direction. We were literally only a few blocks away when we started walking the opposite direction. Now, this obviously wasn't a life or death matter. However, my wife was very angry because she was also very pregnant at this time. And it was about a 3-mile trek, but to this day, when I tell my wife I'm 70% sure about something, that means I have no clue at all. That is why I tell her many times, I'm 70% sure about that, hon. When it comes to our journey of faith, when it comes to our desire to follow Jesus, I hope we can all say we don't want to look up one day and realize we've been walking the wrong direction this whole time. We don't want to realize we've been following Gary Brooks this whole time. And oh yes, I name dropped you, brother. Not bitter at all about that walk. Not bitter at all. However, it's all the more reason for us to know who Jesus is and how Jesus has called us into a relationship with him so that we would know that we aren't doing what our culture has a tendency to do. You see, our culture, as I've said every week of the series, has a tendency to pick and choose what they like and what they don't like about Jesus. They have a tendency to say, okay, we like this stuff, so we're going to put that in. And, oh, Jesus, we don't like these things, so we're going to take those things out. And then on top of that, we decide that the stuff that we don't understand, we're just going to throw it away. We're just going to get rid of it. And in reality, we create a Mises, an idol of worship, and not the real Jesus. And so we're going to continue today in part 2 of a 2-part sermon. Part 1 was last week when we talked about Jesus, how he's confronted by the Pharisees about his nature after he opened the eyes of a blind man. And he explained to the Pharisees that he was the door, yet they just didn't understand what he was saying. And he makes some strong statements against the Pharisee for the rejection of who he is, telling them that they're blind and they don't see. And in a roundabout way, calling them thieves and robbers. Through a parable he teaches about sheep and shepherding, where he talks about being the door. But he doesn't just talk about being the door. He also talks about being the good shepherd. And in this we find a great promise through a wonderful metaphor that he speaks through talking about sheep and shepherding. The first I am statement we learned last week is contained within John 10:7-10. And it says this: Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. As we know already, it is here where we must address the fact that Jesus isn't done talking. Jesus doesn't stop here at this phrase, I have come to give life and to give it abundantly. This is not the last thing Jesus is going to say. It's not the last thing that Jesus is going to explain. Because he's going to explain how it is he is going to bring us this life and this life abundantly. And this is contained within the next I am statement. First, Jesus says, I am the door. He makes it clear to us, if we want life, we have to enter through him and only through him. He is the only door. He is the only door. And he continues on with these I am statements, showing us that all those who claim to be the door, all those who try to come in another way, they only come to steal, kill, and destroy. But he has come to bring abundant life. And John continues recalling these words of Jesus in John 10:11-18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus continues on with this metaphor with more information about sheep and shepherding. Once again, piggybacking on the fact that he is the door of the sheep. Seeing that shepherds in this time period, as we discussed last week, literally were doors to their sheep pen. They would have this fence that they would make of stacked rocks with an opening, and that's where the shepherd would rest. As his sheep rest and found pasture, the shepherd would literally be the door. And I just want to marvel at this moment of Jesus' teaching. I want us to stop for a moment to look at the depth of wisdom that Jesus Christ has. God the Son, God with us. Jesus is literally saying, I am the door, because he is the good shepherd. Jesus is the door because he is the good shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd because he is the one and only door. What Jesus is doing here is providing us more clarity to the reality of what it means when he says he is the door, because he is the good shepherd. Now, we mentioned this in other I am statements, and understanding that he is the. This is a definitive statement. He is not a, he is the good shepherd. And this phrase, for those like me who may need a refresher on English, is an article. And this device in our language is used to modify nouns. It provides a definitiveness or an indefinitiveness. It provides for us an understanding of if something is the thing or if something is a thing. The fact that Jesus says, I am the is definitive. There is no other good shepherd. There is no other. Jesus makes this clear to us. No other shepherd would come as good as him. No other shepherd will come as capable as him, because there is no other good shepherd to come. There is no other God to come. There is no other God who so loved the world that he would give his only son, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life and would not perish. And in this, while we were still sinners, lost and dead in our sins, we were destined to die, we were doomed in our sin, yet he comes. And the truth is, no other will come, because the Good Shepherd has come. There is no other, for there is no other God to come. Now that we see this, let's dig into this metaphor some more to understand what it means for Jesus to say, I am the Good Shepherd. Because unless anyone decided to make a drastic career change and become a shepherd like in ancient times, we are kind of disconnected to this. This metaphor may simply just fly right over our heads, because we could end up with this point but miss the greater point Jesus is trying to make when he says he is the Good Shepherd, meaning we have to talk about sheep and shepherding some more, as it was in Jesus' present time and context in the ancient world. We cannot talk about sheep and shepherding without understanding that it's different than it is today. They shepherd sheep in a much different ways. You know, for example, we put doors on our pens today. They didn't have doors on their pens. They themselves were the doors. We need to put our feet and our minds into the shoes and minds of shepherds of this day. As we discovered last week, sheep need a shepherd. Sheep are utterly defenseless and totally dependent upon a shepherd for care. Sheep are always subjected to danger, and a shepherd must keep a watchful eye on them. They must always watch the sheep. You know, speaking of danger, let's go to a shepherd that's in the Old Testament, David. In the book of Samuel, he boasts before he goes to face Goliath. He's trying to convince King Saul to let him go face Goliath. And David boasts that he once killed a lion and a bear while defending his father's flock when he was just a shepherd boy. He had to kill a lion and a bear. Lion, tigers, and bears, oh my. Do not take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. 1 Samuel 17, verse 36. I couldn't imagine having to try to fight off a lion, a bear. I couldn't even imagine having to try to fight off a wolf by myself with what just the things that I have around, a shepherd crook and for David a sling. I couldn't imagine that. Now imagine that if you're a helpless sheep, you can't defend yourself. Sheep need a shepherd. This is something the people in Jesus' time clearly saw and knew. And even if they weren't too familiar with the agricultural life of raising a sheep, they knew this. It wasn't easy, and it wasn't a just laxative profession. It was dangerous. There were dangers that you faced. Because not only did you have to face wildlife, but you also had to face the thieves and the robbers. You had to face those as well. Excuse me for a minute. In this, we have to understand more of the statement Jesus is making when he says that I am the door, I am the good shepherd. Because if we don't understand this, it's really hard to enter that door and be part of that flock. We are sheep under his lordship as our good shepherd. We in every way are truly helpless without, unable without, lost without our good shepherd. But our good shepherd has come, and our good shepherd has provided us a way. And our good shepherd stands his ground for us, his flock. When we are in Christ, when our sin is covered by his blood, we become his sheep. We are brought into the fold of the good shepherd. What a wonderful thing, because we are in need of our good shepherd. Even when we don't realize it, we are in so much need of Jesus. Why is this, though? Is it because of the predators of this world? Is it because of the thieves and robbers that we have such a need for care and protection of the good shepherd? It's more than just protection. It's provision. It's restoration. Because this is what the good shepherd provides. He provides provision. He provides protection. He provides restoration for the sheep. He provides life. And he gives it abundantly. To help illustrate this point, I want to tell a little story about a big little guy named Shrek. No, not this Shrek. Not that Shrek. Even though I love the movies, I love this Shrek. But that's not the Shrek I want to talk about today. This is the Shrek that I'm talking about. Shrek the Sheep. This is his story. He became famous several years ago because he was found wandering in caves after being lost for 6 years. Of course, during this time, his fleece grew without anyone there to shave it. When he finally was found and shaved, his fleece weighed an amazing 60 pounds. Most sheep have a fleece weighing just about 15 pounds maximum whenever they get sheared. Shrek was carrying 4 times the regular weight of his fleece simply because he was away from his shepherd. Now, this is a huge problem, because a sheep's little legs were not made to carry so much extra weight, and poor Shrek was buckling under all his weight when they found him. However, beyond this, sheep who were not sheared regularly could develop deadly skin disease under their wool because of the heat and moisture that would build up on their skin, and they could get a rotting flesh disease, actually. Also, their fleece would catch other things, like their urine, like their feces, and it'd get stuck in their fleece, which would attract flies and maggots, which would lead to more potential diseases. And because of this, a sheep that's not sheared would eventually die. Shrek was helpless without his shepherd. Shrek is much like a person who's wandering and wandering without a shepherd. Avoiding Christ to accumulate extra and accumulating extra weight and junk in this world, a weight we were not meant to bear, but we choose to bear nonetheless. When Shrek was found by his shepherd, he immediately was taken to an expert shearer. And after some time, all that extra weight, all that junk Shrek was carrying, was relinquished and gone. All it took was coming home to his shepherd. We need our shepherd. We need Jesus. With this in mind, I would like to call our attention to the video we played at the beginning of my message, of our reading that George did for us from Psalm 23. Let's look at Psalm 23 more, and let's discover what Jesus means when he says he is the good shepherd. Psalm 23, 1 through 6 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's begin to see the reality of what Jesus is saying about himself when he calls himself the Good Shepherd. Now, many of us have looked at this passage before, but not with the lens of John 10 in mind, not with the lens of Jesus saying, I am the Good Shepherd. And in this, we're going to discover in this moment, the Old Testament directs us to the new, and the New Testament reveals to us the old. And that is how the Word of God works. The Old Testament leads us to Jesus, leads us to our understanding. We need Jesus. And then the New Testament provides us a lens of which we can then see even more so who Jesus is, who this God is. In understanding this, hopefully we can see that these passages are connected. And there is no doubt in my mind that Jesus was invoking the imagery of Psalm 23. When he was speaking to the Pharisees there, saying, I am the Good Shepherd. Because it is through this clarity is given on what this means for him to be the Good Shepherd. And for our purposes today, not only does he tell us who he is, but he shows us how we were invited to relate with him today, yesterday, and every day to come. Verse 1 through 3 begins to reveal this to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does this say if we take Jesus saying he is the good shepherd literally? First, he says he sees to our needs. We shall not want in him. Now, we need to clarify this some more. This does not mean we are going to get what we want when we want, because this is not what Jesus is saying. No, Jesus is saying he will provide us what we need if we would put our hope, faith, and trust in him. Our needs will always be provided for. What need in comparison to what we want is greatly different. What we need in comparison to what we want is greatly different. For example, I need my daily bread. I want $1 million. However, you could say, well, the psalm says I shall not want. It is only when we move on do we see what he means. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads us by still waters. What does it mean other than the fact that he provides for our needs? And in this provision, there is peace. He changes the desires of our heart. He molds the desires of our heart to want the things that he wants for us. We must allow him to do this work. And quite literally, when we follow Jesus, it's not an option. Because it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me have rest. He makes me have peace. This isn't optional. And it is a blessed thing when we can relinquish control, when we can relinquish our wants for what he wants, when we can give up our desires for his. There is a calming peace in the rest and provision of the Lord. We literally will never be in want again when we are able to relinquish those wants, relinquish those desires that aren't of him, and take on his want for us, to take on his desire for us. I remember a quote in a book called A Hole in Our Gospel, where he says, we need to learn how to pray, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Teach me, Lord, what your desires are, and lead me in those desires. Now, even more interesting about these peaceful, still waters he leads us by, there's more to this, and it comes from understanding shepherding and sheep. Fast-moving water is dangerous to a sheep, especially if they have like 15 pounds of wool on them. Does anybody know what wool does when it gets wet? It absorbs water. So if a sheep would, on accident, get into a fast-moving stream and get knocked down by that stream, his wool would absorb all that water and all that weight, and the sheep will likely drown. The sheep would likely drown because of the heaviness of their coat. It's like tying bricks to your feet and jumping into a river. It is not going to end well. Here, once again, shows us he provides for our needs by being the good shepherd, by bringing us peace. We cannot ignore verse 3, where it says, he restores our soul and leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We cannot ignore it because it testifies to the fact that Jesus doesn't see to our physical needs. He's not just concerned about this body. He's concerned about our soul. And Jesus comes to bring provision holistically for body, mind, and soul. And he leads us by still waters to protect us, to keep us safe, to bring us peace, providing what we need. If we would truly surrender our need for control and allow him to take the lead, to truly surrender our need for security, understanding he has won our security and is still to this day standing firm for us, giving us security, giving us peace, giving us rest, making sure we live in those things when we have the Good Shepherd, seeing to our care that we are provided for by Jesus. We will never end up like poor Shrek. When we are in Jesus' care, we will never end up like this. When I think of Shrek the sheep and how the shepherd provides for their sheep, I think of how Christ can lift the burdens that we carry. Those things that, those weights we put on ourselves that we're not meant to carry. But Jesus, if we recall in the Gospel of Matthew, says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus provides for us, his sheep. What an amazing promise made by our amazing God. With this being understood, Jesus begins to provide in him for those who are called in him, because he himself is our good shepherd. Let us turn back to Psalm 23 and see how he is more than just a provider. He is indeed our very deliverer and protector. Verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, trust me, what I'm about to say applies. For those who love dogs, I mean, dog lovers are everywhere, and you've owned a dog and you've ever taken them on a walk, have you ever had to jerk back on the leash to protect them from danger? I know once I was running with my dog and it wanted to run out in front of a semi truck, and so I had to pull back my Chihuahua with a pink leash. It was a choice of my daughter's, not mine. It was a very manly dog, and she was a killer. She was a killer. But the point is, we will do that to keep them from certain danger, because we don't want our pets to get hurt. However, sometimes this is what it ends up like when we pull back on that leash, because our dog wants to go running in front of a garbage truck. And this brings us to shepherd crooks. Have you ever noticed that they are a long staff with a long hook on it? You ever wonder what that hook was for? Let's say if you were herding sheep and your sheep was trying to go into the river to get a drink, but you knew that the sheep would get drowned if it fell in. You would take that hook, you would take it around the sheep's neck, and you would pull it back from danger. And this wasn't a very gentle thing. You know, they used this to really pull them back. It was a, no, don't go there. Let me get you water. You know, the shepherd hook was a common tool that was used for this. It was to pull back sheep from danger by grappling their neck. It wasn't just used for what we use them for today, to take those long-winded preachers off the platform. Don't worry, I'll have one on standby ready next week when Frankie delivers our message. I'm just kidding, Frankie. You don't have to worry. The crook itself was also used to whack a sheep. The rod. Not hard, but enough to get the sheep's attention. I know there's times whenever I'm talking to Lucas, trying to give him life instruction so he doesn't get himself hurt or killed, and he's just like, and I gotta be like, okay, come on, let's wake up, pay attention to what we're doing. It was a rod for whacking the sheep to get the sheep's attention, because the shepherd is the protector of their sheep. If he, Jesus, is our shepherd, and this is the imagery the Bible teaches us about shepherd, what then does it mean? It means Jesus will grapple us and pull us back from certain danger. Jesus will give us those love taps with a stick as well. And he does it to protect us. He does it because he loves us. Shepherds did this for their sheep, not to harm them, but to protect them and love for their sheep, just like they would use the rod and staff to protect their sheep from predators. The same instrument of love that Jesus uses for us to keep us from certain danger is the same instrument a shepherd would use to fight off the wolf, to fight off the lion, tigers, and bears. Oh my. Jesus protects his flock in so much that Jesus is willing to die for us, his sheep. Wait a minute. Jesus did die for you and for me. John 10 makes it perfectly clear that this is the role of the shepherd, and this is what Jesus does for us as the good shepherd. As John 10 says in verses 12 through 15, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Don't miss the contrast that Jesus is showing us here. The contrast between him and others in this world who would claim to be the shepherd over Jesus. The contrast between him and the Pharisees. The contrast between him and the government. The contrast between him and every institution on the face of this planet. They are all hired hands that will all fail us at the end of the day. They are hired hands. They are not the good shepherd. When push comes to shove, when danger comes, they will fail us. Jesus will not. He will not abandon us. He will stay with us to the end. He will lay down his life so that we may live. And that is exactly what he did. Jesus desires to protect, guide, and lead our lives as the good shepherd protects, guides, and leads the sheep. He wants to steer us from danger, correct us when we are wrong, and protect us from the assault of the enemy. Would we allow him to do just this? It is only through this that we truly ever experience the abundant life that he comes to bring. It's going to hurt sometimes. Getting hit by a rod or jerked back around the neck with a staff can hurt. But as the author of Hebrews 12:7, he says this: "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" We are sons and daughters of the holy heavenly King Jesus. And in this, we should be able to find comfort in his discipline, especially when his discipline is a guide for us to live in him more fully and more abundantly, more truly. This is why the Psalter says, "His rod, his staff, comfort me." It should be a comfort for us that the Lord loves us so that he would do whatever is necessary to keep us from danger, to keep us from doing wrong, and to keep us safe with him. His rod and staff comfort me. Thanks be to God for this. Bringing us to the final point of Psalm 23 that shows us who Jesus is in light of John 10 when Jesus says he's the good shepherd. The psalmist continues in verses 5 through 6. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Through the provision and the protection of the shepherd in the Psalms, we also have this wonderful moment in verse 5 and 6 where we see our restoration. The restoration the good shepherd provides. Now, the metaphor at this point has stopped. And the reality of what the psalmist is talking about is real. It's made clear to us. And what Jesus is talking about in John 10 is made abundantly clear. And that is this life, the life abundantly he comes to bring by being the door, by being the good shepherd, is for this very purpose of restoration. What else could this mean? "You prepared a table before me, before my enemies." As the good shepherd already has won our victory. Victory we don't deserve, but victory that is won because of who Jesus is. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." What does this mean? It means when you allow Jesus to be your shepherd, to be your soul provider, to be your protector, he will pour into your life in such a way where it won't be able to contain it all. Rather, the joy, the love, the peace of Christ will burst forth from you. It will exude and explode out of us uncontrollably. And all will see who he is because of his love for us. In this, we will have mercy. In this, we will dwell with God. In this, we will have a right relationship once and for all because Jesus saves us from the fall and guides us into glory. If this isn't abundant life, I don't know what is. He restores us holistically. Jesus restores us as our good shepherd. Jesus makes it clear that he is the good shepherd. This is who he is. This is what he has come to do. And he is gathering his sheep. He makes this clear in the gospel when he says this in John 10:16. "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." It is important for us to understand, to receive this life that Jesus brings, to receive this restoration, to truly be made new again. We must stay awake, aware, listening for the shepherd's call, listening for his voice. There's a comic strip I once found that I think really captures this moment for us in this day and age. There are so many things out there that distract us. There are so many things out there that keep us from listening to the shepherd's voice. Allow Jesus to be your sole provider, to be your sole protector. Accept the shepherd's crook. Be comforted by the rod and staff. Because we have to listen for the voice if we hope to fully receive this holistic restoration. this wonderful provision, this great protection, unless we want to end up like Shrek. Unless we want to end up like this. The question is for us, do we desire for him to be the shepherd of our lives? Do we desire his protection, his guidance, his restoration? There was much debate over this exact thing when Jesus told people this. When Jesus was teaching people this, we see this in John 10, 19 through 21. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" What do you believe? Who is Jesus? Is he the good shepherd of your life? Let us spend this day asking this question to our God, as it is a day of holy rest to seek God. Let us spend this season that we are in seeking God and asking this question, who is he? Is he our good shepherd? Let us spend the rest of our lives seeking and asking. Let us spend this day and ask, are we like Shrek, heavy burdened, unprotected, and dying? If we find we are, may we turn to the one who is all we will ever need. What do you believe? Who is Jesus? Is he the good shepherd in your life? Let us pray. Gracious, most gracious, Heavenly Father, provider, protector, redeemer, restorer, Emmanuel, wonderful, perfect, holy, holy, holy are you. And Lord, you have invited us into a relationship with you. Help us to receive the bread of life. Help us to see the light of this world. Help us to enter by the door. And help us submit and subject ourselves to you, our wonderful shepherd, the good and only shepherd. Help us, Lord, to seek out your way, your truth, and life so that we may live in it abundantly, believing in your provision, being still and restful under your protection, and being renewed daily by your restoration. Help us, Lord, to truly be your sheep. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen and amen.